Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Lord Jesus appointed 72 disciples. We sent ahead of him in pairs to every town and place he intended to visit. He said to them, "The harvest is abundant, but the laborers are few. So ask the master of the harvest to send out laborers for his harvest. Go on your way. Behold, I am sending you like lambs among wolves. Carry no money bag, no sack, no sandals. Greet no one along the way. To whatever house you enter, first say peace to this household. If a peaceful person lives there, your peace will rest on him. If not, it will return to you. Stay in the same house and eat and drink what is offered to you, for the laborer deserves his payment. Do not move about from one house to another. Whatever town you enter and they welcome you, eat what is set before you, cure the sick in it, and say, 'The kingdom of God is at hand for you.'" The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Today on this Feast of St. Luke, we have a chance to enter into the great mystery that he became a saint precisely through trying to organize and present the life of Jesus and the life of the early church to a friend, Theophilus, who was either a man named Theophilus, as my twin brother took Theophilus as his confirmation name, or it could have been just what Theophilus means, lover of God, God lover. In other words, he could have been writing that orderly account for us. But he studied what everybody else had left about Jesus. He pondered how St. Paul preached about Jesus. And then he put it with his medical mind as a beloved physician into an orderly sequence so that we would be able to enter into the story. So that we would be able to recognize that Jesus enfleshed himself in order to enter into our story. St. Luke gives us so many unique things that we wouldn't know about Jesus if he didn't give us his sequence. We wouldn't know about all the circumstances of John the Baptist's conception and birth. We wouldn't know about the Annunciation. We wouldn't know about the Visitation. We wouldn't know about the presentation of the child Jesus in the temple. We wouldn't know about the finding of the child Jesus in the temple. We wouldn't have that extraordinary scene of Jesus with the widow of Nain. We wouldn't have the parable of the Good Samaritan. We wouldn't have the story of Zacchaeus. We wouldn't have today's gospel of the sending out of the 72. We wouldn't have Jesus' healing of the 10 lepers. We wouldn't have two of Jesus' words from the cross. We wouldn't have the extraordinary scene of Emmaus and how that continues to be relevant to how Jesus accompanies us on the way. But more than anything else, Luke, the beloved physician, ordered his whole sequence. The opening prayer says to show Jesus' love for the poor. Fair enough. But really, Jesus' mercy toward those who were desperate for it. That's the structure of his entire gospel. We see it, for example, in the Benedictus, of how he describes Jesus, the one his son John the Baptist would point out. It's the mercy of God from on high. We see it in the Magnificat that he alone remembers. God has been mindful of his mercy to every generation. We see it in the parable of the Good Samaritan. We see it in the parables in Luke 15 of the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost son. We see it in that extraordinary parable of Dives and Lazarus, showing how we're going to be judged on whether we care for those in need. See it in his word from the cross, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And then his whole dialogue with the good thief. St. Luke's Gospel is to present to us in an orderly way how that hesed and that rahamim, that loyal fatherly love and that tender maternal love, was the whole purpose of the incarnation, the life, the preaching, the suffering, the death, the resurrection of Jesus, and the commissioning of the church. St. Luke, the beloved physician, helps us to meet Jesus, the divine physician, who not only cares for us in our physical needs, but so much more comes to heal our soul, so that the immortality is given it might be fully received in eternal life. What can we learn from St. Luke? First is how the Lord calls us to be saints in the midst of ordinary things. St. Luke himself, when we see in the Acts of the Apostles, wasn't a star, even though he was an incredible physician by this point. You can see it with the medical terminology that he would use throughout his gospel. He just was a faithful co-worker, was present. When everybody else had abandoned Paul, as we hear today, St. Paul would be able to say from an Ephesian jail, "Luke is the only one with me." Luke was constantly at St. Paul's side, just helping as he needed to be. He was one of St. Paul's greatest helpers. St. Paul couldn't have accomplished anything that he did without so many helpers. First way we're called to respond, as Luke does, is just by truly assisting all those who are carrying out the task of the gospel. We don't have to be a superstar. St. Luke didn't need to be. He just made possible the work of others. Second, there came to be a time when he, out of love for others, having studied, having examined the life of Jesus, wanted to share it. Pope Francis has that beautiful passage in Evangelii Gaudium, the Joy of the Gospel, in which he says, what type of love is it that doesn't want to share love of Jesus? We know from personal experience, he says, it's not the same thing to walk with Jesus, to walk alone, to look at the world through Jesus' eyes, to look at them through natural eyes. We know that with Jesus, life becomes so much richer. And that's why we evangelize, because we want others to have these good things. So St. Luke did it with a pen. He knew how to write. Nowadays, almost everybody knows how to write. Not all that many knew how to write back then, especially write well. He wrote with a scientific mind. Very orderly sequence so that people would be able to understand it. Just a month ago, I was having dinner with this friend of a friend of mine who's a very big shot lawyer here in the city, who's a Jew. But my friend from Michigan, who had met him, has been working with him and said, now's the time for him to meet a priest. So I had dinner with him to sort of talk about seeing whether he's ready for the gospel. There are a lot of familial concerns that would happen if he were to come on in, but I think he's heating up. But he said, you know, when I read, what I really love, he says, is I love the Gospel of St. John and the Gospel of St. Mark. I said, that's very funny. I love Matthew, I love Luke. And Luke's like the best. Straight on to the Acts of the Apostles. And we had a beautiful conversation, which, of course, was like a conversation at a Samaritan well, about the various angles of Jesus that we learn in each of the Gospels. But with a scientific mind, I've always loved the way St. Luke organizes his Gospel. But he just started writing, started to write this account. We're called to communicate the faith in these ways. Little did St. Luke know that 2,000 years after he'd written down his account, billions of people would have read him. That he is a doctor, and as a shadow to Paul's light, would become one of the most famous authors of all time. Just like Madonna is known just by her first name, or Shakira, or Lady Gaga, or LeBron. So when we just mention the name Luke, Most people aren't thinking Skywalker. They're thinking Jesus. Because of what St. Luke himself had done with his name. So, we don't know when we write that letter home. We don't know when we're writing an email to a friend. We don't know when we're making a phone call or just having a conversation, what type of impact it will be and it will have. But we're just called to do it with faith and let the Lord handle the rest. That's what we learn from St. Luke. And the third is we learn that we can become great saints precisely through doing those little things. Studying, examining, accompanying, ordering, sharing. St. Luke, like St. Mark and St. Matthew, gives us an extensive account of the Last Supper. But there's one element in Luke that's not found in Mark or Matthew. It's when St. Luke says, as Jesus himself stated during that Last Supper, I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. St. Luke, when he focuses on Jesus' self-giving in the Holy Eucharist, focuses on Jesus' passionate love. He eagerly desires still to eat this Passover with us. We rejoice to be here. We prayed in the psalm, your friends, O Lord, make known the glorious splendor of your kingdom. May we, like St. Luke, starting from here at this altar, make known that glorious splendor. Praise be Jesus Christ.